Hi, I'm Heather Mulder.
And I'm Janice Greeno, and you're listening to Dementia Untangled, where we explore the topic of dementia through conversations with physicians, experts, and community leaders.
Our discussions focus on innovative ideas, practical strategies, and proven methods to guide caregivers along a supportive path.
Hello, and welcome to Dementia Untangled. We are so glad you have joined us for this episode of our podcast.
Today, our conversation will be with Lori Nissen, who is the Director of Family and Community Services at Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. And we're going to be discussing lack of awareness in dementia. And, you know, Janice, I find this is a really common topic that comes up with our families and with our caregivers. People are saying, my person is in denial. They don't recognize that they have this disease. And no matter how much logic they're presented with, you know, look at the dings in the car. Look, the doctor said you should stop driving. They just don't believe it. And so they almost ask us to convince their person that they have this disease. But what we know now is actually it's not that the person is in denial. It's that they lack awareness or insight into their condition.
Absolutely. You know, this came up recently. I was just in a support group when one of the caregivers said, we can't even say the word dementia at home. She said, my mom just doesn't want us to even mention the word. She doesn't think that she has dementia.
So I'm really excited to have Lori join us today for our discussion on this exact topic. But before we dive into that, Lori, I wonder if you could tell us about your journey. What led you to connect with people with dementia?
Well, you know, I think it's a common story. I had a very close relationship with my maternal grandparents. And so I'm now convinced that that is really kind of what led me into aging. From a young age, I knew I wanted to be able to help support people and be a counselor in some way, shape, or form, and started on a journey with a bachelor's degree in psychology, and then determined that clinical social work as a master's program was going to be a really good fit for me.
I think that's so interesting. It seems like many people who get into the field of dementia, whatever their role in it be, it's often because they had a personal connection to this disease.
You know, I think more broadly that people often go into the aging field because they've had a good relationship with a grandparent or a neighbor or an aging aunt or someone who really kind of took them under their wing. As far as dementia goes, my great grandmother had the disease. She actually lived to be 95 and functioned without dementia until she was about 85. But the last 10 years of her life, she really deteriorated and died of dementia.
Wow. I really do want to take some time. I think this is going to be an interesting discussion today. Can we start off by talking about what is the difference between this lack of awareness and how does it differ from someone being in denial?
Well, there's this term called anosognosia. It's kind of a mouthful. But it really refers to the fact that a person might have an ailment, but not have awareness into it. And so this lack of awareness is really what we see in folks with dementia. It's not a denial like you might see in somebody who has alcoholism, and you confront that person about their drinking, and they tell you that they really don't drink that much. They know intellectually really how much they're drinking. They're just in denial. They don't want to address the problem. They don't really want to take a closer look at it. They're not ready. That's different for somebody with dementia who has a lack of awareness. So with dementia, of course, this is a brain disease. So it affects different parts of the brain, including the frontal lobe. And the frontal lobe is really what gives you good insight and awareness. And so for many people who develop dementia, they lack awareness into their illness. And so as you may know or could imagine, this makes providing care, support, safety, supervision difficult at times.
So I'm thinking about why a person with dementia can't see what is so apparent to others. And I hear you talking about the frontal lobe. And in Dementia Untangled, we really like to untease the science. And I'm wondering if you can share with us a little bit more about what happens in the brain.
Well, I mean, we know that this is a disease that affects, you know, different parts of the brain. And as the disease progresses, different parts atrophy and die. And so as different parts of the brain decline, the person loses functionality. So people start out very cognitively intact and very functional and very mobile. And through the progression of the disease, you see that they, you know, often lose memory, thinking first. And then as the disease progresses, they lose more and more of their memory and functioning, both from a cognitive level, from an emotional level, as well as from a physical and functional level.
Wow, I can see how this is so challenging for caregivers to deal with. And I know anecdotally, I've heard of this happening pretty frequently in people with dementia. Do you have an idea how often does anosognosia occur?
You know, actually, it's the majority of people with dementia have little or no awareness in their disease. And sometimes that fluctuates, right? Just like the short-term memory fluctuates. So some days the person may be aware of it and other days not at all. But I'd say for the most part, I think the last research I read, about 80 to 85% of people with dementia don't have good awareness into their disease. And so it really, I think, helps us in a number of ways. It helps us to navigate difficult transitions that occur with the disease, such as implementing care or, you know, not having the person drive any longer. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really helpful for us to be aware that when people lose their awareness, it really changes the way we communicate things. So, you know, Janice was talking about someone in her support group, a caregiver who was talking about how their person maybe had a diagnosis, but now doesn't remember. We leave it at that. We don't want to constantly confront the person with something that they're not comfortable with or can't wrap their brain around or have forgotten.
Very interesting that 85% of people with dementia experience this lack of insight, lack of awareness. I'm wondering, is this specific to the stage of the disease?
Well, typically when we think about someone being aware of their disease related to any form of dementia, that would be in the early stage, right? Because right. For even those who do have awareness into their disease, as memory fades, their insight and judgment related to a lot of things dissipates.
And does it become easier to manage as dementia progresses?
Well, I mean, I think there's kind of a twofold issue going on. So one thing we haven't quite addressed is that those people who do have good awareness into their disease can be people that might need extra support or even counseling early in the disease to help them cope with this chronic progressive condition and help them manage it. Because they often have greater symptoms of depression and anxiety, having awareness that they have this disease that is going to be progressive over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. For those people who don't have awareness, I think early in the disease, that's okay. I mean, I personally think that everyone should be given a diagnosis, right? But we say you have Alzheimer's disease once, and if the person can't deal with it, can't accept it, doesn't remember it, we don't have to constantly bring it up again. And as the disease progresses, you know, their memory and awareness fades, which is harder as a caregiver and family member because we're grieving more of those losses. But it may be easier in that we're implementing care and that person isn't fighting. You know, so if I'm someone who doesn't think that I have any problem and you're telling me that you need to be managing my finances, that's going to cause a lot of conflict between us. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely.
As the disease progresses and I'm less aware of that, it will be easier for you to manage my finances.
so interesting to consider, you know, that 15% of people living with dementia who have insight, it almost seems like maybe not having awareness can ease for the person the experience of the disease process.
You know, I think that's an interesting idea, Heather. So there has been some work around lack of awareness or even apathy, and that those things can be very difficult for the care partner, mm-hmm. but in some ways they can be somewhat protective to the person with dementia, as you're suggesting.
Hmm. Yes, I can see that.
And so you bring up the care partner. How does anosognosia affect caregivers? I guess my first thought that comes to mind is, you know, do you see some correlation between people who have this lack of awareness and then potentially the care partner almost seeming to exhibit a lack of awareness? I can think of, you know, couples who, you know, the neighbors and the friends are saying, how can they not see this is happening? And it's not just the person with the disease. It's the person who's also living in the home with them too.
Yeah. So I do think they're connected. And kind of the way I see it is that often the person with dementia has this anosognosia. So they have this lack of awareness or insight into their memory loss. So I have the privilege of doing psychosocial assessments for people with memory loss and care partners often. And the person with dementia will be telling me, yes, you know, so I'll be saying, so what's your typical day like? Oh, well, I get up in the morning and I make myself a smoothie and then I head off to the tennis club and I play tennis. And right next to them, their care partner is looking at me silently, shaking their head no, meaning that hasn't happened in a long time. But to the person with dementia, it has. Again, they're not lying. They're not making it up. Their memory is... their short-term memory is impaired and their awareness of that is impaired. So in their mind, they really are still doing those things. So I think it's twofold. I think the person with dementia often has this lack of awareness, but then sometimes it creates denial in the rest of us is what I like to say. And what that means is that this disease is progressive, but you know, there are good days and not so good days, right? So if your person with early stage dementia doesn't believe that they're having a bad day, you know, they think that this is just kind of normal life and they have a good day, it's easy for the caregiver to say, oh, they're actually doing just fine. You know, it's easy to kind of intellectualize what's happening. And so it does sometimes create denial on the part of the care partner or family. And you know, frankly, you know, be gentle with them, right? Who wants to embrace the idea that my loved one who I've cared about for 30, 40, 50, 60 years has this progressive degenerative disease to which I don't have control over. I don't have a way to stop it or arrest it, right? So who wants to embrace that is what I'm saying. So it seems natural that sometimes that denial kind of creeps in. But then if it overtakes things, it can be dangerous, right? So if the person with dementia is still driving and the care partner doesn't see that that's a problem and the person is getting lost, then dangerous things, you know, and safety issues can really prevail and become problematic.
Talk to us about that, because there are these major obstacles that you brought up, driving and safety, in addition to the lack of awareness. Hey, don't say that word in the house. You know, dementia is not allowed. So how do caregivers try to overcome those obstacles? How do you advise families when they're in situations like this?
You know, so I think to me, I'm a therapist by background. You know, it's all about the language. It's all about semantics. So it's how you say what you say. And a lot of it is just thinking about it with empathy. So, you know, you can be frustrated with that person with dementia, but you have to remember that this is the dementia. And you also have to remember that how you speak to them should be how you'd like to be spoken to if your memory were to fade. So pointing the finger at someone and saying, you know, you can't be left alone anymore because you wandered out into the street the other day in that scolding manner, is not going to be necessary, well-received or effective, right? So it's all about how we say what we say. So sometimes you know, language is really important. Frankly, I don't know why we call it adult daycare. I wouldn't want to go to adult daycare, and I don't think Janice or Heather would want to go either, right? So how we say what we say is really critical. So introducing it as a life enrichment program or an opportunity for volunteerism is very good. If you have to bring up the person's dementia and saying that, you know, we're going to check in with the doctor, memory loss, if that language is comfortable with them, that's what we use. Similarly, if we're trying to implement some in-home respite and there's going to be an outside caregiver coming in, and I think that I can take care of myself just fine, telling me that I need a caregiver, it's not going to be effective either. So I might instead want you to say, you know, Lori, I have to be gone for a few hours, but there's a few things in the house that we need to have done. So I've hired an assistant to take care of a few things. They're not going to bother you, but if you need something, you know, don't hesitate to ask that person, and this person's name is, and introduce them.
I think you bring up great points that language is so important on many different levels when you're working with a person with dementia. I wonder if we could maybe give you some examples and you could give us maybe some more specific advice on how to kind of think through this. Because I think especially of caregivers that even if you explain this and you help, you say, rethink how you're going to phrase these things, sometimes we need to have more of these concrete examples. So I'm wondering about the example that Janice gave earlier, where she talked about we cannot use the word Alzheimer's or dementia within the home. What are some other ways that we could maybe change that language that would be more palatable to a person who has this lack of awareness?
So I think the first question is, why do we need to be talking about that?
Mm. Mm-hmm. Very true.
So why would we need to be talking about Alzheimer's or dementia around somebody who has dementia but doesn't have awareness into it? And then I think we take our lead from that person. So if the person does say things like, you know, my memory isn't as good as it used to be, or, you know, I'm having one of those senior moments, or, you know, my memory seems to be failing me today, then we use the language that they use.
Yes. And I liked what you said about changing our language when it comes to having some come in the home that they're just there to assist us and they're going to do some projects around the house and here's their name and I'll be back in a little while. That's just so much easier to swallow if you don't think you need someone to be there to take care of you. I was thinking about this when you talked about driving and safety. So how can you help with language and switching what you're saying for someone who insists that they continue to drive?
Well, I think one tool that is really important for the caregiver to keep in mind is that they always want to be on the same side of the table as their person with dementia. So that really, I mean, physically, if you think about sitting on the same side of the table as opposed to sitting on opposing sides, that really helps you think about how you're going to communicate, right? You always want to be on that person's side and align with them. So if you're talking about driving, you might say something about, you know, how you're concerned about their safety. And then the other tool that can be really helpful is to not take responsibility for those big decisions. Make the bad guy be the medical provider or the nurse mm-hmm. or the social worker that you're working with, that person suggested it. It might even be that, you know, in driving, you can fill out a driver condition report and send it into the DMV and, you know, the driving, the motor vehicle division will then become kind of the bad guy, if you will. And then you just are the one who's empathic. You know, I agree with you, giving up driving is terrible, but you know, Dr. So-and-so said that, you know, it really isn't safe at this point. And I'm sorry, because that really stinks. But don't worry, because I'm going to take you wherever you need to go. So have a plan on how you're going to manage without that person driving.
I love that visual of being on the same side of the table with them.
Yeah. So if you've ever been in any kind of relationship, you know that being right all the time doesn't work, right?
No.
And especially with somebody with dementia, right? So being right is going to be, is overrated, is not so necessary. It's more about being on that person's side and you know, focusing on how they're feeling about these decisions, not going with what they want. So we have some caregivers who say, well, when my person tells me it's okay, then I'm going to move them into assisted living. Well, if you're going to wait for them to be able to have the insight awareness to make a decision, that's never going to happen. But it's more about taking into consideration their feelings and how they're going to feel about something and being there to support them and maybe even say how you're going to feel about it.
How would you advise caregivers who are having to deal with this lack of awareness in their person? Because a lot of the strategies that you're giving are kind of changing the dynamic of your relationship and almost dulling the conversation, omitting details to them. And I can imagine a lot of caregivers would feel resistance to withholding information or changing information for their person, despite the disease process that's happening to them. How would you advise caregivers in that situation?
Well, this is actually the hallmark of what we're talking about today. So my hope is that now that you and our audience are more aware that the person with dementia often has lack of awareness into their own disease, it totally changes the way you communicate. So if someone doesn't believe they have dementia, telling them they have dementia many times is not going to be useful. The only thing it accomplishes is conflict. So if you're aware that the person doesn't have awareness, it changes the way you communicate. So if I don't think that I need to be supervised, and you're going to tell me that I need a caregiver or supervisor, it's not going to go over well. I'm not going to be able to accept that.
Right.
So instead, we have to really be gentle in our communication. We have to partner with our person. We have to use workarounds. And we know that in communication with someone with dementia, telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth is not useful,
mm-hmm.
right? Telling mm-hmm. them too many details or confronting them with something they don't believe or aren't aware of is futile. And all it does is create conflict. And that isn't healthy for anyone. So communication now becomes about gently making sure that we are, as the care partner, caregiver, implementing care, supervision, help, and safety without confronting the person or offending them.
What a perfect kind of summary of what we've discussed today. I wonder if you have any final thoughts that you want to share with our listeners that in regards to this lack of awareness.
You know, I think trying to be gentle, using empathic strategies are always going to help you as a caregiver have more effective interactions. And I think being gentle with yourself as a caregiver, I mean, these are really hard lessons. And, you know, we're asking you to shift communication patterns that have been in place for 20 to 80 years, however long you've known the person. So
right.
It's not easy. And so there are going to be situations where you feel like maybe you say the wrong thing. And that's okay. We're all just learning as we go. So I think practicing empathy, compassion with your person and with yourself is critical as we move along. And the more you learn and the more practice you have, the more effective you'll become in your communication. And then lastly, I would just say that, you know, caregiving, it can be incredibly rewarding. It can also be very challenging. So looking to the support of close friends, family members, a support group, a social worker, a nurse, someone you can talk to and talk through these things can also help give you insights into difficult situations where you feel like you may have hit a wall. You'll get some good advice and some good coaching and some, you know, other eyes on the situation to help you navigate more effectively.
Well, today our conversation has been with Lori Nissen, Director of Family Community Services at Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. Lori, I really appreciate your gentle and empathic approach to this difficult discussion as we untangle anosognosia in Alzheimer's disease.
Yes, we just thank you so much. We just appreciate you sharing your insights insightful ideas on how to deal with this difficult topic.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Dementia Untangled. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dementia Untangled is hosted by Heather Mulder and Janice Greeno, produced and edited by Amber Ayers, and is brought to you by Banner Alzheimer's Institute and Banner Sun Health Research Institute. We are supported by generous donations to the Banner Alzheimer's Foundation.
Please visit our website at banneralz.org and follow us on Facebook to learn more about upcoming events. If you have questions or comments, please email us at dementiauntangled@bannerhealth.com.